covering the Durand area with local news, weather, and sports.
Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
WRDN.
Tickets to a concert, it's a Daytona airbrush t-shirt. Wondering who's gonna kiss who first. You know what I'm talking about. Hey baby, what you doing tonight? It's butterflies and Bud Lights under the stars and
ABC News, I'm Daria Albing. Our First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, is among the speakers on this first night of the Democratic National Convention. Her husband, President Biden, will give the keynote address. The convention will end on Thursday with Vice President Kamala Harris accepting the party's nomination for president. Expelled New York Congressman George Santos is expected to plead guilty to a number of fraud charges when he appears today in New York federal court. Phil Donahue has died. He hosted the first TV talk show, which included audience participation, which was serious sometimes and sometimes not so much.
You're really a romantic when you're alone with your lover.
Oh, that's the question I was going to ask. No. You took it right out of my mouth.
Donahue's show created a genre on TV which paved the way for people like Oprah Winfrey and Jerry Springer. He was 88 years old. The cleanup is underway across much of the Northeast today after a night of severe storms. This is ABC News. A Texas jury will decide if the parents of a student are liable in a deadly school shooting.
Galveston jurors resuming deliberations today on whether the parents of Demetrios Pogorchis, accused of killing 10 people in a 2018 school shooting, should be held financially liable. Victims' families seek over $1 million, arguing the parents failed to address their son's mental health and secure their firearms. The defense insists the shooting wasn't foreseeable. The case echoes the recent sentencing of Michigan parents James and Jennifer Crumbly in a similar tragedy, though Pogorchi's parents face no criminal charges. Dave Packer, ABC News.
In Pakistan, more than 200 people have died from monsoon-related incidents. Monsoon rains have triggered flash floods, blocking a key highway in the north. The country is in the middle of its annual monsoon season, which runs from July through September. Scientists blame climate change for heavy rains in recent years. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is in Chicago for this week's Democratic National Convention.
It's good, and it's good to have Democrats getting together and finding out what other states are doing at the same time that, you know, we're learning from other states. You know, bringing people together and being able to hear directly from the folks that are running for president and vice president.
While the DNC is in Chicago, there will be plenty of focus on Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will hold a rally at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee Tuesday. And also on Tuesday, Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance will hold a press conference in Kenosha on the topic of crime and safety. While in Milwaukee Friday to pick up the endorsement of the city's police union, Vance compared illegal immigration to a previous wave of immigrants.
But has anybody ever seen the movie Gangs of New York? That's what I'm talking about. We know that when you have these massive ethnic enclaves forming in our country, it can sometimes lead to higher crime rates. What we want is an American immigration policy that promotes assimilation, that no matter where you come from, you can become an American, but only if we have an immigration policy that promotes assimilation.
Milwaukee Police Association is endorsing Vance and former President Donald Trump. Civil rights groups are trying to block expansion of Interstate 94 in Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee NAACP, the Sierra Club, and Milwaukee area faith groups claim the project will favor suburban residents of the area over the mostly low-income community members that will be affected by the expansion. The Journal Sentinel reports the lawsuit was originally filed in 2017 when the expansion was first planned, but a lack of funding canceled the project. Now that the proposed expansion is back on schedule, the groups will refile their lawsuit on Monday. If the project moves forward regardless, they want more funding for public transit and pedestrian and bike paths through the area. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America, because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants' 25th anniversary celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping nirvana, Crayola experience creativity, hangout heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. mallofamerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny today and quite comfortable, with calm winds out of the northwest. High temperatures are hitting the low 80s. This as a high-pressure system settles in overhead, keeping us dry all week long. A few clouds build in tonight with low temperatures falling to the mid-50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 74.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And that strength continues, and it's actually starting to pull some members of the wheat complex higher with it. Even the livestock's turned higher after a pretty gnarly open. It's the most pro-farmer week of the year. Crop Tour on AgriTalk kicks off right now. Live from Crop Tour Central via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin coverage of Crop Tour 2024 with a conversation with Eastern Tour Director Brian Grady. Then it's Chip Flory live on the Western Belt. And at the end of the show, an extended weather remix conversation with Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm your Crop Tour Master of Ceremonies, Davis Michelson. So glad to be here. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's a big, big, big week. I will be behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk between now and the foreseeable future. We don't know how long this is going to go on. They might decide to just kind of hang out there for another couple of weeks. No, they got to get back to work. We'll have Chip back. We may get him back for the free-for-all on Friday morning. We will definitely have him back Friday afternoon to just sort of wrap the whole thing up. Typically what we do is have a conversation with Brian Grady. Sometimes we get scouts. You know, you just don't know. It's that kind of a week. But the good news is, I am a broadcast professional and I am here to lead us through the entire process. So glad you've joined us. Now, if you want to keep an eye on tour happenings, observations, thoughts, random weirdness goes on out there too, tends to show up on X, hashtag PFTour24, hashtag it PFTour24. And hey, if you are out there on tour right now listening to me, testing 1, 2, 1, 2, is this thing on? If you're out there, send your pal send me a boy howdy to let me know that you're listening. Boy howdy to hashtag PFTour24. For a deeper look at the results, of course, you must visit www.profarmer.com. We'll have daily reports. We'll have the morning observations. Agweb.com is another great spot for this info. All sorts of stuff going on. And I would remind hashtag PFTour24 on X. They're out there. They're already posting on X. I've got pictures of corn and soybeans on the Twitter, the X, right now. But there's no time for that. We're going to get to all of that. But first things first, let's hit our box here. We'll start with the National Weather Service weather outlook. They expect isolated severe thunderstorms with damaging winds possible across several areas.
Flash flooding is possible across portions of the mid-Atlantic into the northeast and southwest into the Intermountain West. Dangerous heat will persist across the southern plains. Dry and windy conditions may create fire weather conditions across portions of the Great Basin. Now, I'm looking at the updated weather radar as of right now, and it does look like tour participants are finding sunny skies, mild temperatures. It looks like a great day for crop tour. Scouts are sampling corn and soybean fields across seven crop tour states over the next 4 days. As I said, you can follow along on our website, profarmer.com, or by searching hashtag PFTour24 on X. Scouts on the Eastern Lake today are making their way from Dublin, Ohio to Noblesville, Indiana. Those on the Western Lake scouting fields between Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Grand Island, Nebraska. Rain did fall across the central and eastern Midwest over the weekend. Got about a tenth to a little over a half inch in some areas. Some localized areas received larger totals. Net drying did occur in the Delta, the Western Corn Belt, and much of the Western Plains. I do want to talk soil moisture, of course, in particular that western side there. But last year, you know, the soil moisture was a big deal. I'm curious what Brian Grady is observing on the Eastern Belt as well. Hey, look out for this one. There's a push to extend the 2024 spring crop insurance payment deadline due to depressed grain prices. The bill, historically due on November 30, has been due on September 30 for the past 8 to 10 years, with billing occurring on August 15. When the bill is sent, recipients have typically had 30 days to pay. Look out for that. The Democratic National Convention opened in Chicago with President Joe Biden to deliver remarks later. The event runs through Thursday when Vice President Kamala Harris will accept her party's nomination for president. Recent political rhetoric in the presidential race came from the Democratic ticket and blamed the meat and poultry industry for rising meat prices. National Chicken Council Interim President Gary Kushner says he does not agree with the idea of price gouging. He said, quote, Americans are seeing inflation in nearly every part of their livelihoods, including rent, gas, automobiles, furniture, and not just in the meat case. In a speech last week, former President Trump doubled down on his commitment to new tariffs, pledging to implement 10% to 20% tariffs on countries that have been, quote, ripping us off for years. Elsewhere, Trump has indicated he would support tariffs of at least 60% on Chinese imports to reduce trade with the world's second largest economy. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell will provide the keynote address on August 23rd at the Fed's annual Jackson Hole Monetary Policy Symposium. The market expects the Fed to cut rates by 25 basis points in September. That's on September 18 at that FOMC meeting, setting the stage for a gradual easing cycle that could extend into 2026. And with that, let's get to this industry spotlight.
Brandon Walter is a corn portfolio marketing lead at Corteva. He joins us right now. Brandon, Pioneer has always been an innovator in corn genetics, but it starts with the basic, and that means the germplasm, right?
Oh, absolutely. Ultimately, all of our products and our performance is based on that germplasm. But I think the thing that's exciting at Pioneer is we spend a lot of time on helping deliver that best-in-class germplasm, but ultimately, too, of how can we help support additional farmer needs and also continue to bring the latest and most advanced traits to the marketplace as well.
Very good. What's new for the 24 season?
We're really excited about the launching of our two newest technologies, both Vorseed Enlist Corn and Power Corn Enlist Corn. So as we think about Vorseed Enlist Corn, what that product is, that's going to bring us both above and below ground protection. So when you think about those heavy corn on corn acres, it's a great option to go out there and help defend against those tough pests. And what we're seeing with that is not only the enhanced insect protection, but also the yield advantage. And so in 2023, our Vorseed Enlist products showed about a 71% win advantage with a 12.1 bushel advantage versus both SmartStax and SmartStax Pro competitors. For those customers that don't have the corn on corn acres and are maybe looking for something that just brings that above ground protection, Power Corn Enlist Corn is going to be a great option. And so that's going to bring, again, just that above ground protection against those tough pests, but again, continues to bring that enhanced yield advantage when we think about a 68% win advantage in 2023 with about a 9.3 bushel advantage. So again, both of these technologies are going to give our farmers the yield potential that they've seen from Pioneer, but continuing to bring all those other additional features here for the 2024 season and 25 season and beyond.
All right. Where can listeners go for more information, Brandon?
Customers can go to pioneer.com, or another option too is go talk to your local Pioneer representative, and they'd be happy to talk to you more about our Vorseed Enlist corn and PowerCore Enlist corn options for the 2025 season.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brandon. That is Brandon Walter, corn portfolio lead for Corteva.
At Corn King 333 wins the prize. Hashtag PF Tour 24. Boy howdy from South Dakota. Glad to hear you're out there with him again this year, Corn King 333. Send us a boy howdy from wherever you might be if you are on tour. Hashtag at PF Tour 24. I've got the director of the Eastern Leg, Mr. Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer, lined up next.
My name is Grant Bell. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Sullivan, Indiana. Becoming a Sweetwater Technologies franchise partner has allowed me to return to the home farm and diversify my income source. Drones are the future, and they really are a solid agronomic endeavor. We're flying at 28 feet per second, getting a nice uniform swath across your field, really blowing down that product into the canopy. We're having great success this summer, and I'm really excited to see where things go. Apply today to become a partner at SweetwaterTechnologies.com.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy. We believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
Want to start building before spring? Morton Building's Winter Windup is the chance to get ahead of winter weather and save big on select building projects. Now through October 31st, we'll be working all winter long, but building spots are limited. Don't wait to start your project. Click Get Started at MortonBuildings.com today.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Retirement can be...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com, call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Boy, howdy. We got a crop tour going today. We're running crop tour all week long. We've got scouts out on the Western Belt. We've got scouts out on the Eastern Belt. Leading our Eastern effort, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady himself. Brian, good morning. Good morning. Crop tour, baby.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Davis?
I'm doing really good. We are very curious to know how you're doing. And I know it's early on day one, so let's just take a moment, lay a little bit of groundwork. You've got scouts with you out in the field there. How many, I don't know if you have a solid head count. We should probably count at the beginning, and then we'll count again in Rochester, make sure we've got everybody. How many you got along with you?
Oh, there's 40,
upper 40s, low 50s, somewhere in that range. I kind of lose track. Had a couple international scouts that didn't make it in because of weather issues with flights canceled and stuff like that. So that I'm not quite certain where we ended up.
45, 50, 52 people. That's an awful lot to hold together. Is that usually how many scouts that you take out with you? That sounds like a lot, Brian.
Yeah, we've been about that number, maybe down just a little bit this year, but we've got plenty of scouts. No issues on that front.
Very good, very good. And the idea here, beloved listener, is that the scouts kind of fan out and they set up where they're going to meet tonight when they're all done, but they fan out across a given state, a given crop area, and take the samples along the way. Let's talk about what you're seeing. How's the weather?
Couldn't be any better, to be honest with you. It's almost borderline chilly. It's 70 degrees, breezy, partly cloudy skies, so or partly sunny, whichever way you want to look at that. And like I said, it's not warm by any means. Last year was a baker, and this year is very pleasant.
Yeah. Now, understand. We get it. It's early. You've only had time to make a few observations, so I'm not going to ask you to necessarily plant a flag in any of these thoughts. But I was looking over my notes from last year in Ohio, and one of the things that you talked about was, yeah, it looks pretty good. Corn looks pretty good. Even the soybeans, we'll get to the soybeans. But the corn looks pretty good, needs a little bit of moisture to finish. That was last year's call. Now, I've heard you talking about the soil moisture maybe being a little bit better over in the Eastern Belt this year as you're starting your first day. What's the moisture situation look like? What are your general observations on the corn crop there thus far?
Yeah, so we've been basically straight west out of Dublin, and we're in an area that receives some rains overnight and even Sunday, and so the soil moisture situation, topsoil is plentiful at the moment. And, you know, thinking back to last year, when we finished up in Ohio, I'd said that the Ohio corn crop was the most impressive crop I saw. And, you know, I didn't mean that to mean that it would out yield some of the other higher yielding states traditionally, but it was an impressive crop. I just don't think what we've seen so far in our seven stops this morning that it has the consistency that it did last year. It's not quite as impressive. It's a very good crop. There ain't any doubt about that. But it's not up to last year, but last year was the gold standard here in the state.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking on X here at a few. Some of this corn looks really, really good, Brian, but I'm also seeing a little bit of tip back. Concerns for this crop emerging early on in your observations?
The Ohio didn't have the consistency that it had last year. And so there are some pockets. I know there's some dry areas, southeast of Dublin, that my particular route didn't get into. So we'll see what some of the other scouts say this evening when we have all the data and the route reports and stuff like that. But I just think that probably the consistency isn't where it was last year in Ohio.
Okay, the sins of the spring, the sins of planting, probably are beginning to show up if they haven't already. Are you seeing any corn doing penance out there at the moment?
Yeah, you know what? So I haven't seen many blank stalks. I haven't seen many skips and rows in the area I've been in. I think generally everything was okay in this. You know, well, like I said, everything is cumulative when we get done. So sure. I'm one of 11 routes, well, like you said, early on, this is preliminary.
Okay. It looks to me like Berto's got eight routes under his, or eight stops under his belt already. How deep are you today?
We've made seven stops. So okay. He's just one in front of us. Took us a while to get our first stop. I had some TV crew and stuff with me, so some extra vehicles. So it's tighter out here in Ohio anyway, and just took a little while to get a stop where we could get that many vehicles off the side of the road safely.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Transition us over to your early observations on the Ohio soybean crop. What are you seeing so far?
Strong and we just had one out of our seven samples that was light, and we had a couple that were really big, and I've been pretty impressed with the soybean crop so far from the samples that we've pulled.
Are you seeing any disease, any SDS? Maybe I hadn't even thought about SDS until just now.
No, not along our route. There's been, we stop roughly every 15 miles and pull a sample, but there's in between there's a lot of fields that we pass by. So visual observations and things like that.
Thank you.
Some of these fields have volunteer corn, out there that, you might not see in the cleaner years, but I don't think it's a super big problem. There's some weeds, issues and through, damming from the route I've seen anyway.
Okay, very good. As far as pod counts go, have you seen impacts from the weather on the overall pod counts that you've observed so far?
They've had some pretty decent weather. Base pod counts are strong, and okay. I would say that probably their soybean crop, from what I've seen, is more impressive than the corn on our seven stops. And the corn hasn't been bad. We just had one real clunker, but
okay. I think we still have Brian. I'm hoping so. I want to take you back to the corn while we're talking disease pressure just a little bit. What you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, you're breaking up just a little bit. Not a lot of disease concerns in the beans that you've seen. Tar spot was a thing. I think we got to go back to the corn to talk about that. What's the story?
No story on the seven that we've stopped in. So not an issue in those fields that we've seen.
Okay, very good. Last year it was, there is potential but needs rain. You're saying it got the rain. What are your expectations for the rest of the day as you continue on?
Well, I think Ohio as a whole is going to be really strong this year. There are those pockets out in the state that we know about that didn't have the ideal weather. And so probably not going to be up to last year's standards from the corn perspective. Soybeans, obviously, late season moisture matters, and like I said, we got some rains through some of these areas yesterday and overnight, and so they do have the potential there for to build with that big yield factory to build a big yield because of the moisture.
And Brian, maybe we need to talk about that here on day one, interview one of Crop Tour. What you're looking at is, you're viewing the tour area as one giant corn and or soybean field so that we can get a total picture, and you said it, of how much of the yield factory is up and running. Procedurally wise, is there anything that you want listeners to know? Maybe they're new to Crop Tour, they haven't listened in the past. What would you want people to keep in mind?
Well, keep in mind, compare Crop Tour data to past Crop Tour data, year ago, 3-year average, historical numbers, those types of things. That's your best way to use Crop Tour data. The other one is, you mentioned one big field from western Ohio all the way to central Nebraska. And at the end of the week, when we have all the corn numbers in one spreadsheet, that's our best number that we get because area. So I wouldn't take too much into account from one individual sample per se. All of the samples.
Oh, no. Brian's fading on us. Don't put too much stock in just a single sample. I think that's good counsel. We got Chip Flory coming up next on the other side.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos.
you say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it, and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Action in the markets on Monday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Well, let's take a look at things here. Working through our trade action on this Monday, we did get some soybean sales announcements here this morning to China and unknown. That seems to be helping out this bean complex. Also, maybe a little bit of short covering based on some of the early findings from this week's crop tour. We see the wheat trade futures sinking a little bit on weak global cash prices here today. Corn largely kind of stuck in the middle, with corn seemingly following the soy complex here as we work through our early week trade action. Now, we're going to be watching here for various reports from the crop tour this week. That's going to be something that's going to add to the overall sentiment here in this trade. Weather looks relatively benign again here this week. There's been some talk of maybe some slight shifts in the pattern, a little more heat in parts of the high plains, but overall things looking fairly good here once again this week. Maybe more rain in parts of the northern plains that could have an effect on the spring wheat finishing up here, and even on some quarter bean acres across the northern plains as well. But largely things looking pretty good on the weather front, and so we're just going to continue to watch these markets and see if we can get a little bit of bounce and short covering at some of these low price levels, or could we spur on some more demand here as we go through this week and beyond. You're listening to the American Ag Network.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
December corn, 6 higher, 398.5. November beans up 12 and 3 quarters, 969 and 3 quarters. Chicago wheat, September down 3 and a quarter, 526 and 3 quarters. KC wheat, September down, or half penny higher, 540 and a quarter. September spring wheat down 6 and a quarter, 587. Cattle futures lightly mixed, with hogs slightly higher. This is the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Pioneer. Pioneer combines cutting-edge research with one of the largest local testing programs in the industry to help farmers succeed. Pioneer. What's next happens here.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. Our crop tour coverage has only just begun. And I'm here with you door to door on crop tour. You can keep tabs on X at hashtag PFTour24. That's hashtag PFTour24. So far, the Corn King 333 stands alone
He and Chip Flory out on the Western Belt, they're doing it all themselves, yeah. I guess. Send us a bit, send us a boy howdy to hashtag PF Tour 24. If you are on the tour, let us know. Chip Flory joins brother. He sounds excited to me, everybody. Let's bring him in. Chip Flory, how's it going, brother?
I've got the Corn King 333 sitting right next to me. Hey-o! Of course I'm excited.
Outstanding. Yeah, outstanding. Well, he gets the gold star tweet of the day. We'll be sending him a big golden X shortly.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Dude, you're doing it. We're here. This is it.
Here it is. Yeah. We are in the middle of it, of day one, and making our way down through southeast South Dakota. We've got seven samples done, and the Corn King is working on sample number eight right now.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And that's about where they are on the Eastern Belt as well. Birdo apparently had eight. He's probably up to like 12 by now. Grady's in on seven at this point. So they're making excellent progress. Sounds like you're making similar progress over there. Dryness, weirdness, lots of questions for the route that you're on specifically today. Tell us about conditions around your starting point there.
Yeah, we dropped south out of Sioux Falls and then made our way to the west about 40 miles. And now we're making our way to the south. We just got into Yankton County, which is the last county that we will sample in South Dakota. The variability issues that we were concerned about, it's there, but I don't think it's as bad as what I thought it might be when we got up here, Davis. Our first four stops on corn, everything was in that 170 to 175 range. And in South Dakota, if you're pulling a 170, 175, you're feeling pretty good about it. Now,
that's darn good.
The next three stops brought some of the variability in, and the average on our first seven stops was 165. So, the maturity issues were everywhere from just pollinated here in the last week. Okay. Some green silks still out in the field early milk to very early dent. I shouldn't have even said very early dent. A couple of the fields were at 50% dent already. So clearly there was two very different planting seasons up here in South Dakota, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it for sure. But everywhere you look, there's a pothole here and a pothole there, trying to assess exactly what that's going to do to the yield up here in South Dakota is we're going to have to use some Kentucky windage to figure all this out and try to get a better understanding of exactly where South Dakota is going to end up on corn.
Yeah, absolutely. So, What's the source of that variability? I feel like we kind of expected it. Can you sort of going in afterward? Can you inspect the crime scene and what's the biggest?
It's all planting dates. It's all planting dates because I would guess that about 2/3 of the corn crop in South Dakota got planted on time. A third of it got planted late because, boy, they parked the planters for 2 weeks, maybe even 17 days, something like that.
Yeah.
And you can definitely tell the difference in the planting dates up here, looking at the maturity on the corn. So it's all about the spring planting conditions. And then I was worried about the ear counts and that we might be missing some ears out there. And when we look at the pollination, well, you can't even really say it. It looks like the later planted corn pollinated and germinated about the same as the earlier planted stuff. So, but the ear count started off really good in Lincoln County, Turner County, and it held into the first part of Hutchinson County, but then it started to go downhill as we got into Bonhomme County and making our way into Yankton County. So I think population, you can't take too much from one route, but it feels like population is going to be just a bit of an issue up here on corn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those were kind of some planting related nicks that leads to some variability that you're seeing today. How about disease pressure? Are there other problems that this corn crop is dealing with?
You're not seeing any disease out in the corn, are you?
Southern rust in one field.
Oh yeah. Southern rust in one field. And outside of that, I mean, there's some lodging. We've seen some hail damage. The lowest, I'll talk about this when we get to the beans, but the lowest pod count that we got was in a field that was obviously hit with hail earlier this year. But right across the road, you know, that cornfield was hit with hail. So we're seeing all the typical stuff that you would expect to see in the Western Belt with the addition of some southern rust. It's not all that common for southern rust to make it all the way up to South Dakota, and we were in the one field that's got it. So yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Let's move on to those beans. Now, you were talking just now about variability this year in the corn. Planting dates were a little scattered, shall we say. Last year, and this might be more of a, this says Nebraska, but you were seeing some beans still flowering in some spots once you got down into Nebraska. I want to talk about that South Dakota bean crop. How are they looking up there on the beaners?
Yeah, again, two very different planting dates and two very different development on the bean crop. Half of the fields that I've been in this morning, Davis, a good solid pod fill going on. The other half, we're looking at pretty flat pods, and there's still some blooms out in these fields. So if they, you know, geez, here we are. It's August 19th. I look at those blooms and I wonder if they, you know, can they put on a pod? Can they put a bean in the pod and actually add the yield? Well, you add a couple of days to the end of the growing season and sure, they can add some to yield, but boy, you really got to hustle to make that happen. And we've got pod counts. Good grief. Our average is 1150 on the first seven. So that's really good. A year ago, we were like 1,013. So 1150 from what I've seen is really good. But boy, it's from 1600 down to 400.
Yeah.
In pods in a 3x3 foot square. So, I mean, that's kind of all over the place, man. It's the other thing is most of the bean fields appear to be pretty clean, but where there's an escape, where there's a weed escape, there's very little in between. It goes from nice and clean to very weedy. Whether you're looking at volunteer corn out there or water hemp, you either got your weed control or you didn't. Up here is what it looks like.
Do you reckon more would have gotten a weed problem? Okay. Do you reckon more would have gotten that dealt with, but maybe they just couldn't get out into the field because it was too muddy?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Find a window.
Exactly what it's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've got the tools available to them now. It's not for a lack of tools or for a lack of effort. It's just the inability to get out and get things done.
Yeah.
And then aphids. There's. Mm-hmm. What I understand is that there is some treating, you know, they're flying on some, insecticide onto some aphid infested bean fields up here. I haven't seen any spray planes out today yet, but, who knows, by the time we get to this afternoon, it could be out there, but, two fields that I've been in out of the seven, they appeared to me to be over the threshold. And should probably be getting sprayed. I mean, enough so that they're sticky. You walk out of there and you can actually feel the aphid goo.
Ooh,
I probably should. But you can actually feel the aphid goo when you get out there in a couple of the fields. So it's they need to do something about that.
I'm writing down, you can feel the aphid goo in my notes here. Get out your prescription pad, Dr. Flory, and I'll ask you, if you would, to write legibly, thank you. What's your prescription for the bean crop that you've seen so far to meet its full potential?
Let's give it a rain. It absolutely needs a rain. We're seeing, a 3 makes on our soil moisture index makes me feel pretty good about things. We're getting 2s now as we make our way into the southern part of the state. And so let's give it a rain. Mm-hmm. And, go ahead and give me an extra week at the end of the growing season. Get me into the early part of October before we get a frost. And I'll feel much better about the beans.
Well, I feel much better just hearing the sound of your voice, Chip. And we'll hear it again this afternoon from parts a little further south of where you are, as the western leg makes its way through South Dakota and Nebraska today. Thanks, Chip Flory. Be safe, pal. We'll be back with Brett Walls from BAMWX for a weather talk.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews. And that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, Sweet mother of pearl. Trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break. Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
Some things shouldn't be flat.
My tire!
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you. Boy, howdy, we got Crop Tour going. You can keep tabs on the tour. Toss in your own 2 cents at hashtag PFTour24 on X. That's hashtag PFTour24, where we will find Michelle Rook. Now, these are, do not base any decisions on these numbers whatsoever. These are preliminary, early. Michelle Rooks has four stops on hashtag PFTour24 in Turner, Lincoln, and Hutchinson counties. Pod counts on soybeans range from 458 to 1609. Wide variability there. Chip was just talking about that in South Dakota, and now we've got Michelle Rook also finding some very wide variability. It does sound like a lot of that due to the weather. So with that, let's bring in a weather expert, Brett Waltz from BAMWX. Thank you so much for joining us this Monday morning for an extended remix weather chat, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
Yeah. Now I was just talking to the gang out on the Western Belt in Ohio, or on the Eastern Belt in Ohio and the Western Belt, making their way through, Eastern South Dakota and Eastern Nebraska. It sounds like they've got absolutely perfect weather, dude.
Yeah, I mean, for this time of the year, it really just can't get any better. Temperatures today and tomorrow in the 70s, not getting out of the mid-70s for highs out in Ohio. Probably not tomorrow getting out of the low 70s. And I was telling Joe there that we could have temperatures on Wednesday morning for Illinois, Indiana, Ohio in the low 50s, upper 40s for high for low temperatures, not highs. We're not there yet.
So is that a pattern that we can expect to stick around for a couple of days, or is it just sort of a lovely gift for Crop Tour Week?
It's mostly a lovely gift for Crop Tour Week because as we work into the weekend, as we work into the weekend, it warms right back up, for many areas, pretty warm for this time of the year, even into the, 90s for the plains, upper 80s for really, much of the Corn Belt into the weekend.
Okay. A lot of the conversation revolving around Crop Tour is going to be talking about, and my big question, what does this corn crop need? What does this bean crop need to finish well, to continue filling pods, and to complete its life cycle the way that it ought to? It usually comes down to just the perfect amount of rain at the perfect amount of time, coupled with the perfect amount of sunshine. Brett, nobody knows what that perfect amount is. But if we were to hint at it, how close are we going to get to finish these crops out with some decent weather?
You know, I think for the northern belt, it's going to be there. You know, it's going to get warmer. There's no doubt about it. But I don't see record heat or anything like that in the cards. So I'm not super concerned about temperatures. We've had enough cool that I don't think heat stress is going to be a big concern for the northern belt especially. And I think that into late August, there's going to be some more rain opportunities that arise and get those timely rains. I think that that's what we need, and just to kind of put the finishing touches on things. And again, I think for Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota, I think that that is in the cards here to end August and especially into early September. Now, for southern areas, the further south you go, that's where it's going to be a little bit hotter, and it has been getting dry. You know, I know you go across some parts of the Ohio Valley, and it's been drier as of late, and there's not much precipitation on the horizon in the extended range, to be completely honest, for Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and down through Texas. And so I think that those areas, it's going to be a little bit more critical, especially maybe for beans, to get some rains into early September. I think there will be more opportunities, but I think the wild card is, what will tropical activity do in the Gulf of Mexico? Could that impact things down the road?
Brett, I'm going to apply a grace filter to your response to this question, because we're getting a little far out, and I understand if you don't even want to answer the question, but harvest weather, man, we had such idyllic weather last year, a wide open window in lots of areas to get harvest taken care of in a timely fashion. Any expectations early on here is what we might expect?
Yeah, I think that harvest doesn't look bad at all. You know, I think that it continues to run a little bit warmer than normal. We start to pick up that pattern into September. And I don't see it as a super active fall. Maybe getting more active in the eastern belt into October, maybe. But I think the start of the season, late September and into early October, is warmer than normal, and plenty of harvest windows in there. I also don't see a lot of huge concerns for early frost and freeze potential either.
Okay. Do you have a date range as to when we might expect that first frost? I won't write it down if you don't want me to, but I actually might.
Well, it'll vary a little bit across the belt. You know, I would say that for northern portions of the ag belt, in fact, I had this pulled up just a minute ago, our top analogs, actually, in terms of frost potential. If I'm looking at northern areas like Fargo, I think you're probably looking the last 10 days of September. And so we still have a while to go. And then most of the rest of the ag belt, from Iowa to Illinois to Indiana, you're looking at more like early to mid-October, second or third week of October probably. So, again, not seeing major concerns for it to be super early this year. It's a ways out.
That feels about right for a normal year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at, you know, our La Nina state right now, we're not quite to it yet. And so we are normal where that is concerned in the Pacific Ocean. And so it makes sense that it would be relatively normal for this fall.
Boy, there's nothing like being labeled normal first thing on a Monday morning. I feel good about that. Thanks, Brett Waltz. Thank you for kind of putting yourself out there a little bit on the prognostications and whatnot. We won't hold you to it too tightly unless you're absolutely correct, in which case we'll celebrate together. Have a great day, buddy. Brett Waltz, FamWX.
Yep. Thank you.
Radio. Well, we are on the board. Day one crop tour is, I mean, we're here listening to the radio, and they're out there counting samples and doing math and all sorts of stuff. At least they've got great weather to do it. We spoke with Brian Grady out east. We spoke with Chip Flory out west. We're going to catch up with them toward the end of their routes, 2:06 Central Time, right back here on AgriTalk. It's your pal, Davis Michelson. I'll be here. Thanks to Big Apple Joe. Thanks to Brian Grady. Brett Waltz, of course, from BAMWX, and our old pal, Chip Flory. Come back this afternoon. Crop Tour Agri.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by right now to answer your questions for free. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-755-7100. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell our listeners who should call right now.